So today's message is entitled, I Am God and There Is None Like Me. It's rather a long message, what's new with me, right? There are four main points and there are some sub-points. The four main points are, there is no balance between good and evil. There is no struggle between good and evil. Point number three is going to be a little difficult. Satan can do no miracle. And point number four, complementary but not oppositional. First point, there is no balance between good and evil. Today we will see how this idea has permeated modern society in such a small and simple way that we're not really aware of it. And I know that to a lot of you, you're going to be like, well, we understand this, Chevy, but here's the thing. Here's the thing that's important about me teaching this. I expect it to be taught by you. And secondly, your kids don't know this. It's so subtle, your kids don't know this. The idea that Satan is not a creator of anything, that he can do no miracle, it is God who creates life. But what he does create in us is doubt, and I'll show that to you. So we'll start with some examples to introduce you to an idea that I think is so subtle that we just don't even notice it. A while back, my wife and I went to see the latest installment of the Star Wars saga. I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan. In fact, in the summer of 1977, my brother and I were watching TV. We were teenage boys, and we're like, yeah, that. By the way, it's not an endorsement of the Star Wars saga. Please understand that. Okay. I want to stress a subtle theme that is played out in Star Wars across our society, so much so that we don't even recognize it anymore. It stresses the idea that there needs to be a balance between good and evil. So here comes Darth Vader, and everyone knows who Darth Vader is. He wears black. And he represents the Sith and the dark side of the Force. Then here come the Jedi wearing white, and they represent the light side of the Force. They both use the Force. And Darth Vader was the one predicted in history to balance the universe. Well, it's just a movie, right? And yet you can go out on Wookiepedia, not Wikipedia, and you can see a whole world in which this idea has become a reality. And there are three main characters in the Force: the light, the dark, and the balance. Just like there are now apparently three main characters in the Bible, right? God the Father, Jesus Christ, and this thing that they now call, you know, the Holy Ghost. There are only two. And they are not in opposition to each other. They are complementary to each other. But here we have what basically is represented to us as a way for Satan to justify his existence. Now, I'm not picking on Star Wars because I'm all against Star Wars. What I'm saying is that people are certainly not aware of this. Why would they be? In fact, it's presented to us in many ways. I chose this as my first example, and I'll show you more, because it's one that has permeated our culture so much so that we all walk around. I'd like to have BB-8 as a toy. I wear T-shirts, you know. Everybody goes to see the movies. The music by, you know, the composer, everyone knows it. Bum, 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 ba da. Everyone knows this stuff. For the last 45 years, we're all really into it. And yet the subtle theme through all of it is that there must be a balance between good and evil. Okay? Let's be clear to start with. There is no balance between good and evil. They are not complementary. They are oppositional. And one is in charge, and he is not threatened in the least bit by evil. God allowed us, that's you and me now, not anybody outside this door, the opportunity to understand good and evil. Why does he do that? Because we must choose life. God is life. God is the creator. Evil is death. Not just death now, but for eternity. This comes from an instructor in philosophy at the Golden West College, and I've had this around for a long time. You know that I have a master's in psychology. I also studied philosophy, so I understand these things. This is on Sikhism and Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism, is you're familiar with it, but you're more familiar with the term Mithraism from ancient Babylon, what we now call Iran. This came after that and replaced it. There is still Mithraism in the world, and you all know that's basically the worship of Satan, as is everything I've just mentioned. Because remember, Lucifer was the bringer of light. Light is truth. Can he do that now? It's not a rhetorical question. Can he do that? No, no, he cannot. He does not bring truth. He brings darkness to the world. Zoroastrianism. Among the major religions of the world, it has influenced other religious systems, including, are you ready for this? The Second Temple Judaism, Gnosticism, Christianity, and Islam. For 1,000 years, forms of Zoroastrianism, including Mithraic Mediaism and Zoroastrianist Sassanidian successors, were the world's most important faiths. And as Christians in God's church since the time of Mr. Armstrong, we all understand this. We've all talked about this. What we don't know is that it still exists in the world, but in a much, much simpler form. And as we go over the next 15 or so minutes, I'll show you, leading up to where it's come to us, not just through Star Wars, but through our educational and Christianical systems, okay? By the way, there are still Yazis in the world, and they live mainly in Kurdistan and Iran. And if you were paying attention a few years ago, you know that there was a pogrom attempted by Islam to stamp them out. The United States interfered. There are about 2.5 million of them, and about 5,000 were massacred in northern Kurdistan. Well, actually, it's Turkey, but they call it Kurdistan because the Muslims consider it paganism, and it is. And Muslims consider themselves, of course, children of God. But their religion, of course, carries the same idea. I might point out to you that God gives us, upon our recreation, a white stone with our name upon it. What color is the stone when you go to visit the when you go to visit the holy place of Islam? What color is the stone? It's black. It identifies itself. Most of all, if you're not aware of this, the idea of a war in heaven, which is what the Catholics teach, right? A struggle between good and evil. It's a falsehood. There's one minor detail, and you'll recognize this because it started in the Garden of Eden. Actually, it started long before that, but we'll go there. That comes from all of this and why it's so important. These things create doubt in the human mind. You know, what did Satan say to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:5? I'll try to quote it. I will look it up, try to quote it. He basically said, God lied to you. You will not surely die. Yes, you will. And you will now be able to know the difference between good and evil and become like God. Now, that's a lie wrapped in truth. Remember when I just started a few months ago, I said, we've been presented by God both good and evil, and we must choose good. Why would he present evil to us? So that there is no excuse, right? You know these things. So that you can't live a perfect life with no trouble in it, with no testing, with no sadness in your life, and look at God and go, so what? If you don't know the truth of what Satan is to you and your family and to the people around you, how can you choose good over evil? Let me ask you something. Having been the covering cherub over the throne of God, having lived in paradise with God the Father and Jesus Christ, what do you offer Satan as a reward? Because he rejected that, which you and I have never seen. What do you offer him as a reward? What more is there to give him? You and I have never seen paradise. We long for paradise. We've never seen it. This comes from Wikipedia, and I don't know who the author is. It's just somebody that posted on Wikipedia. This is Chinese philosophy. You've heard these terms, the yin and the yang. I studied this when I was a kid. They mean dark and bright, night and day, right? Okay. You're going to hear some things here that are just nonsense. But these are believed by billions of people. Yin and the Yang describe how opposite or contrary forces are actually complementary. Okay, wait a second. Before we go another step further, you and I and sin are not complementary. We are oppositional. How do I know that? There's a scripture in the Bible that says the spirit wars against the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. We are not complementary with sin. God is not complementary with Satan. They are oppositional. However, in this case, it's certainly not oppositional because God is completely in control. That's another falsehood, that there is some kind of war out there. God is allowing everything to happen as he chooses it to be. How do I know this? I've told you this before. The human mind understands eternity going this way, forward. It does not understand eternity going back this way. We do not understand how God could have existed forever. Everything else besides God the Father and Jesus Christ have been created. That which is created by God is subject to his law, or to his destruction, or to his blessing. You and I were chosen not for eternal life, but to be sons in God's family. There is a large difference. These forces are actually complementary, interconnected, interdependent in the natural world, and how they give rise to each other and one another. Many tangible dualities, such as light and dark, fire and water, expanding and contracting, are thought of as physical manifestations of the duality symbolized by the yin and the yang. This duality lies in the origins of many branches of classical Chinese science and philosophy, as well as a primary guideline of the traditional Chinese medicine, and the central principle of the different forms of Chinese martial arts, exercises, blah, 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 blah. Duality is found in many belief systems, but the yin and the yang are parts of the oneness that is equated with the Tao. You may have heard the term Tao many times. It means the way. A term that has been coined, dualistic monotheism or dialectical monotheism. Yin and the yang can be thought of as complementary rather than opposing. Now, yin and the yang, you all know what yin and yang is. It's a circle, one side is black, one side is white, and they spin together. These forces interact to form a dynamic system in which the whole is greater than the assembled parts. Everything is both yin and yang. In other words, y'all are both good and evil. What? What? For instance, shadow cannot exist without light. Well, okay. All right. Maybe in this world that's true. But there are two contradictory things here that you are well aware of. First of all, God refers to this creation that he made for us, and he made this creation for us, this physical universe. He calls it a shadow of existence. He doesn't have to have it, doesn't need it. When God the Father finally comes at the end of all things, when the new world is created, it's a spiritual world, there's no physical world. There is no sun to bring light to the world. Where's the shadow? Either of the two major aspects may manifest more strongly in a particular object, depending on the criteria of the observation. The yin and the yang show balance between opposites with a portion of the opposite element in each section. Okay, here we go. Let's get really deep and really silly. In Taoist metaphysics, distinctions between good and bad, along with other dichotomous moral judgments, are perceptual. What? You mean my perception of a moral judgment is the right thing? Not real. Not real. So the duality of the yin and the yang is an invisible whole. In the ethics of Confucianism, on the other hand, most notably the philosophy of Dong Zhaozhu, a moral dimension is attached to the idea of the yin and the yang. Taoist philosophy, dark and light, yin and yang, arrives that it becomes sensible from an initial quiescence of emptiness, sometimes symbolized by an empty circle. Okay, let's stop and think about that for a second. In order to understand the yin and the yang, understand this philosophy, and by the way, the reason we're talking about this is because of what modern America believes, whether you're aware of it or not, it's what we believe. In order to be quiescent, to be quiet, your mind has to be empty. What have we taught, starting with Mr. Armstrong, what have we taught all these years? An empty mind is a mind that can be inhabited by something else. When we meditate, let's not use that word. When we think about God's law, we are thinking about God and his law. We don't empty our mind that something may enter there. Is that not true? Is that not obvious? Yet, in this way of thinking, you must empty your mind, become quiet, then you can know the truth. And a little bit later, it's going to say, the God of this world will enter you. It shocks me to even read this stuff and realize that this is what the 21st century believes. How do I know this, besides having studied it? Well, if you all are old enough, and you are, to remember 1967, 68, 69, 70, we had a little thing called the rebirth of, you know, hippies. And what happened with the hippie movement? And those people, by the way, are the people in charge of this country now. The me generation. They all went out to California, and they all sat around and contemplated nothingness and helped themselves get there by taking chemicals to enhance their emptiness, right? And what did they replace their emptiness with? Sound, light, darkness, whatever they felt that was important. But the key was that they contemplated the nothingness of being, the internal lightness of being, right? It's utter nonsense. The will of Satan exists in darkness, not in light. For instance, here we go. For instance, dropping a stone in a calm pool of water will simultaneously rise waves and lower troughs between them, and this alteration of high and low points of water will radiate outward until movement dissipates and the pool is calm once more. Yin and yang thus are opposite and equal qualities. Further, whenever one quality reaches its peak, it will naturally begin to transform into the opposite quality. For example, grain reaches its full height in summer, fully yang, will produce seeds, die back in winter, fully yin, in an endless cycle. I'm sorry to be sarcastic, y'all, but this is utter nonsense. This is utter nonsense. The idea that you and I should up into truth and down into sin, and then we should be fully sinful, and then we should be fully righteous again. That comes from only one place. However, my making fun of it here, my telling it to you, in no way changes the fact that it is so subtle in our society that we're not aware of it. It is exactly the same thing that I started with. You have Darth Vader in dark, and you have the Jedi in light, and he has come to offer balance to the universe by doing what? By killing everybody. Big Star Wars fan right here. Not exactly the thing that we should be teaching. You know, part of what's being said here is reality and part of it's lie. And that's what makes a really good deception. It's really subtle in most cases. God does not need evil to exist. He doesn't need it. He allows Satan to exist for a time, we know, and then Satan will be gone. God gave us an opportunity to choose between those. Again, the scripture is, I set before you life and death. I would that you would choose life. Life is light. Life is truth. Life comes and emanates from Christ and from God the Father. Darkness does not emanate them. In the very beginning of the book of Genesis, it says, God said, this is Jesus Christ carrying the Father's will out, let there be light. And what does it say of the darkness? It comprehended it not. What does that mean? You know, when I was a kid, it used to really bother me. We sing this hymn and it says, the stars in their courses, the sun, they obediently shine. I'm like, man, I hate poetic language. I hate poetic language in theology. No, 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 no. That's exactly what's going on. That's really what happens. When God the Father thinks, the universe obeys him. How do I know this? Well, he said, if you and I fail in what we're doing, I'll raise up stones to worship me. Did he make a donkey to talk, to speak to one of the prophets? It's inherently obvious to us that we do not understand the spiritual word as well as we do. And our brothers and sisters out there, like I said last time, do not have the armor of God. And they are victims of this very subtle, subtle approach to theology. Listen to this. Here we come to today. This is from the newsletter of the Aquarian Age of Community. Remember I said hippies? I was born on February 5th in 1962. That puts me as an Aquarian in the age of Aquarius. I'm the kind of person that they were looking for. The Aquarian Age Community Struggle Between Good and Evil in the Age of Aquarius. That's the title of this treaty. Modern esotericism put forth in the books of Agni Yoga Society and the Tibetan master Dwal Kul indicate that there are factors present in the battle between evil and good. Again, there is no battle. God's in charge. Which are so deeply esoteric and hidden from the understanding of the most advanced human being that full comprehension of the struggle and battle remain a mystery until the evolutionary process awakens. What evolutionary process? Not the evolution that scientists are talking about, which is in itself a falsehood. The evolution of what? The darkness of Satan, his teachings coming into the human mind and changing it, as opposed to the true. What's the greatest miracle that God can do? And remember this, because Satan cannot do this. The greatest miracle that God can do is to change the human mind. Here we have somebody saying the battle will remain a mystery, even of the most advanced human being, until the evolutionary process awakens the consciousness more fully and human beings can more truly discriminate and see between beyond the glamour and illusion that now holds them captive and enthralled. Remember what I said in the Garden of Eden? Satan comes to Adam and Eve and he says, no, you will not surely die, but you will be able to know the difference between good and evil to be like God. That's what this guy just said. Here's another one. This is by Charles Hampton Turner. It is in vain that we search for an essential difference between good and evil. It pains me to even hear somebody say that. This is our society. These are not crazy people. These are leading theologians and philosophers telling us what we should think and what we really do, because they're right, because this is what people really think. Here's a quote by Ken Wilber on divinity, higher self, compassion, good and evil, radiance, God, and true self. Whenever you hear that, beware, true self. Divinity has one ultimate secret, which we will also whisper in your ear if your mind becomes quieter than the fog at sunset. Isn't that beautiful? The God of this world, okay, let's back up. The Bible defines the God of this world as who? As for now, until the return of Jesus Christ, it is Satan. The God of this world is found within. And you know it is found within. You know that it's found within in those hushed, silent times when the mind becomes still. This is the essence of yin and yang. This is by a person named Thich Nhat Hanh on non-duality and good and evil. This is Eastern philosophy, and this is what most Americans now accept as truth. In the West, you've been struggling for many years with the problem of evil. But in the light of non-duality, there isn't any problem. You need both right and left to have a branch. Do not take sides. If you take sides, you're trying to eliminate half of reality, which is impossible. In other words, don't side with God. For many years, the United States has been trying to describe the Soviet Union as an evil side. Some Americans have even the illusion that they can survive alone without the other half. If we look at America very deeply, we see the Soviet Union. And if we look deeply at the Soviet Union, we see America. If we look deeply at a rose, we see garbage. If we look deeply at garbage, we see roses. This is the international situation. Each side is pretending to be the rose and calling the other garbage. I won't even read the next quote. I don't even want you to hear it. This is what theologians believe. Dualism in the cosmic struggle. This radical dualism, or later Zoroastrianism, would also find its way into some Christian thinking. Gnosticism, Christianity. Although the particulars of their beliefs might vary, they generally held that the material world was created by an inferior God, whom they equated with the God of the Old Testament. This material creation has entrapped the divine spirit, which is the real nature of humanity. Consequently, the supreme God sent Jesus to impart the secret knowledge that human beings need to escape from their imprisonment in matter. You know what? I don't even continue with this nonsense. You get my point. This is what Americans now believe. I'll just skip over this. I read it all last time to the last audience. I gave this too many years ago, but you know what? You don't need to know. You understand what I'm trying to say. I'll read that scripture to you that I was talking about. It's Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. If you want to turn there, it's fine. Otherwise, I have it right here, and I'll read it. This is an amazing scripture, and this is at the heart of who we are and what we are supposed to become and what the truth of this is. Listen to what God says of himself. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Yes, he has set these before us that we may choose. In that day I command this thee day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. But if your heart turns away, so you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I will denounce you this day that you shall surely perish. You will not surely die. What does God say here in verse 18? You shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether you pass over Jordan to go possess it. Now listen to this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. All of the universe now is in an audience to your choice. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thy and thy seed may live. You see, these theologians, these philosophers, these men of and women of knowledge and understanding have said to us and have inflicted upon the United States and the peoples of God these ideas that there must somehow be a good and a bad, a light and a dark. It's not necessary, and it's certainly not true. That thou may love the Lord thy God, and that thou may obey his voice, and thou may cleave unto him, for he is thy life and thy length of days, that thou may dwell in the land which the Lord thy father has sworn to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob to give them. Part two, why does this matter? Well, obviously everything I've just said is a total evil. It is the foundation of things that are evil in this universe. It started right there. And you know, I say it started in the Garden of Eden. But let me say this to you. Isn't that pretty much what Satan was doing in eons past to God's angels? Hey, the boss isn't telling you the truth. I'm just saying that. Isn't that what he was doing? Isn't that what he's doing here? God's not telling you the truth. I know the truth. You will not die. You'll be blessed. You know, Adam and Eve were pure. They were not afflicted like we were. They had not yet encountered these things. They knew God to his face. Yet Satan was able to open the tiniest crack. When I started, I said that crack was doubt. That's what all of this does. It creates doubt in the human mind, whether we are aware of it or not, whether we celebrate it or not. You know, most of us, when we watch Star Wars films, we're like, yeah, good triumph over evil. Wasn't that great? You know, there's a subtle doubt in there, and it sticks with you, and you don't know it. Because in our culture, and in cultures around the world, because American culture spreads everywhere, Darth Vader is an anti-hero. He's a hero. He's a bad guy. Oh, he's a bad guy. But, you know, he's kind of cool. Right? And in the end, he's redeemed, right? He's a good guy. Never mind that he killed a bunch of kids. Let's consider what happened to that one tiny little lie that Satan told Adam and Eve. It created doubt in their minds. They have face-to-face communication with God, and it created doubt in their minds. And since then, they died, and every single human being since then has died or will die. Revelation 1:8. You don't need to turn here. You don't need to Revelation 1:8 because you know it. And I'll just read it to you. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Okay? What about doubt? What about doubt? What do we know about doubt? Well, this is football country, right? Whether we like it or not, could care less about it, whatever. We all understand fourth and long. It's called being in doubt, right? What do you do when you're in doubt? You punt. How about go back to when you were kids in high school and you were dating? Whether you're a man or a woman, if you were doubting this woman or if she was doubting you, what do you do? What's the term we used to use then? Punt her or punt him. Your girlfriends are telling him, punt that guy. Why do we doubt? Because this crack has been opened in our thinking. Here's an article by a man named Greg Kuhl. Ooh, I'm running long. When you think about it a moment, doesn't it strike you odd that we've developed a view that in order for us to acknowledge God as good, he must give liberty to all of our passions? And if God doesn't give liberty to all of our passions, if he doesn't allow us what we want when we want it, if he ever asks for sacrifice, if he ever allows a condition which we hurt, in which we suffer, in which we are inconvenienced, if he ever allows a circumstance which our bodily desires are not given full rein, then he certainly must be a cruel God. Isn't that an odd view? Where does that view come from? Well, that's Satan himself speaking. If God doesn't give me everything I want, he must be a cruel God. You know who thinks like that? A child thinks like that. And it's childishness. As you grow up and you mature, you realize you don't get everything you want in life. You don't. God says we must become like little children. Why is that? Because little children have this fault. They're selfish. Of course they're selfish. They can't take care of themselves. Well, that's the point, right? That's the point. Matthew 18, 2 through 4, and I'm reading in the New International Version, says, he called a little child and he placed a child among them, and he said, and I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is a grace. Why does he say that? Because children are not going to be listening to anybody but mommy and daddy. But the first thing we teach them is, you know, stranger danger, right? Yet as adults, what's the first thing we do? We go pick up a book on philosophy and reread it. We go pick up books on theology by strange people and we read them. We go, well, this stuff's garbage. Or we watch Star Wars. Or we watch a myriad of other films in which truth and lies are mixed. And the subtle idea that somehow Satan is okay and we need to encompass that because it's all right. We're not even aware that we think this. We just have absorbed it into our being. Little children are not like that. Mommy told me no, so I'm not going over there. You know, God calls us sheep. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know, they follow me. God does not preach evil to people. He preaches light. He preaches life. Yet we listen to evil being preached to us through the media all the time. You know, sheep are dumb, right? Sheep are really dumb. A sheep's wool is really thick. A snake can't bite through it, except for one place on the nose of the sheep. And the sheep will put his head down and start eating, and he'll come and he'll eat right up to the hole of the snake where the snake is, and that's the only place the snake can bite him because he's so unaware of what he's doing. So unless our head is up and looking at God, we're subject to all kinds of things. You're probably asking, again, what does this have to do with good and evil? Again, the word is doubt. Doubt. If we suffer and then we question God, doubt may enter. Ask yourself a powerful question. What is worse? A God who doesn't care about you, isn't concerned with your sorrows, you know, what a deist would be. There's a God, but he doesn't really care about us. As Satan would have us believe, that God doesn't care about us. Or a God who isn't able to help our sorrows and he's unpowerful, Again, Satan would have us believe that. That's what this is. With this equation between good and evil, it's that God's not powerful enough. I tell you, on authority, God can do whatever he wants, and that includes what he wants to do with Satan. Satan is in no way fighting God. When Christ went up to heaven to meet the Father after he was resurrected, his blood covered our sins once and forever, right, for eternity. Okay, after Satan was kicked out of heaven, the throne room where God is had to have been perverted with his mere presence there. That's why he's not allowed there anymore, right? So Christ was there. The first blood that sacrificed was to cleanse that throne room, just like the temple here was cleansed with blood, the temple here closed with blood. This being, Satan, is a perversion of truth. And only Jesus Christ can cleanse that. I'll read you a scripture again. You don't need to turn because this is a huge sermon. I'll read it to you. And it backs up what I'm saying. This is in Nahum 1, verse 3. The Lord, that means Jesus Christ, is slow to anger and great in power. Great in power. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In a whirlwind, a storm is his way, and the clouds are the dust beneath his feet. Nothing is prevented. Satan can do nothing. If the will of God the Father is for nothing, nothing can be done. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows what Satan's up to. He has a plan. He's working it out, and he's leaving Satan to do these foolish things to us. You know, when we're at our lowest, we begin to wonder if God's forgotten us. And we all do at one time or another, and it's understandable. We're humans. We get tired. We get hungry. We get sad. We get discouraged. Terrible things happen. And I came up here a few months ago, and I told you that my friend Melissa died of cancer in just a month. She died so fast. She was only 37. There's a lot of pain and suffering. She has a little boy. That can cause doubt. But understand the truth. God's in charge. Part 4, God answers. I don't know what kind of time we got going on here, because I got a lot to cover still. I don't got much time. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 again. For time's sake, please don't turn there. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Again, it's the scripture you know. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations. How does he weaken the nations? By telling them these lies. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend to the heights above the clouds, I will be like the Most High. God answers. God answers this in Isaiah 45, 46, verses 5 and verses 9 through 10. When I read this, I almost feel like God is replying to this very thought that Satan has entered. Listen to this. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? In other words, there is none equal to God. And compare me that way we may be like. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times that things are not done yet, saying my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. Now, this is really, really important. And I'll skip to this because we need to understand this. We need to understand this. I said in the beginning that Satan can do no miracle. And people are like, what? Because it says, in the end, it says, the beast shall heal the mortal wound of the head, right? Of the false part. It says that, right? But let's understand what the difference between a miracle and the manipulation of time, space, and matter is, okay? Let's understand this. This is important. So first of all, I looked up, you know, heal and miracle and all that kind of stuff, and there is a difference in the wording that you can study it yourself. This is a physical universe created for us. It is not reality. We live in an unreal situation. Spirit is reality. We have very, very intelligent people in this world. Their minds are much greater than yours and mine. Then there is a spiritual world led by God the Father and Jesus Christ, in which live spiritual beings who have rebelled against him, and they are super beings. Particular is this Satan. His ability to reason, his ability to manipulate time, space, and matter is beyond anything we understand, because he lives in a spirit world. To manipulate matter is an easy thing. Our scientists do it. Let me give you an example. I will read it to you. And it concerns the Hadron Collider in Bern, Switzerland, the CERN project. That's the European, the chase for the God particle. What is the God particle? The Higgs boson particle? They call it the spark of life. Now go back in time 1,000 years as Israelitish people and pick up an Israelite and take him to that super collider. The thing's like 24 miles long, right? And show it to him. And show for a billionth of a second a spark of a new creation of a subatomic particle that has never existed before. The understanding is there. What does he say of you as a person? You're God. That's merely the manipulation of matter and time in a super collider through advanced electromagnetism. That's all it is. Let me make it simpler for you. Take a person 1,000 years ago, take them up in a helicopter, first of all. Second, drop a bomb. You're a god. No, you're not. It's just science. There's nothing more to it than that. Medicine? Cut a heart out of somebody. Oh, yeah, they do that, and they sacrifice them and put it in someone else, and that person lives. That must be godlike power. No, it is not. Satan can do all of those things and far more. He fools us. Just as we would fool that ancient person, he fools us with his power. There is only one being in the universe that gives life. Who has control over, he reserves his power to himself, life and death. He reserves his power. It's one being. And the difference is he does not manipulate time, space, and matter. He does not manipulate, he does not use science to make these things happen. He thinks it, and it occurs. Satan cannot do this. He may do great wonders and signs, and that's what it says. Great wonders and signs. But he does not think, I'm going to heal Chevy's body, and it occurs. He may be able to do that through science, but he cannot do that. Only one being in the universe can. So when I tell you that God the Father and Jesus Christ are in control, they are in control, and it is not close. It is not close. Remember I said that it bothered me, that poetic language, the stars and the sun obediently shine? Because when he thinks, his creation reacts. Satan can do no miracle. When has Satan, let me put it to you simply. When has Satan recreated himself? Does Satan have a son? A daughter? We have movies about that. How does it occur? This is an adult audience. I won't even bring it up. It's nonsense. It's that utter nonsense. He's not allowed to do that, and he can't if he wanted to. If you've ever read science fiction, you've read the Foundation trilogy. It's about the mule. The reason he was called a mule and he took over the universe? Because he couldn't recreate himself. He didn't have children. God is the life giver. Children are the gift of God. Satan has no children unless we bow down to him. I'll read this thing about the CERN super collider just so that you understand what great power the world has encompassed and headed towards. But it is just science. It is literally the manipulation of time, space, and matter. In case you haven't heard this, a few years ago at MIT, students at MIT took a solid object made of wood, applied energy to it through electromagnetism, which wood is not supposed to be subject to, and they moved that piece of wood from here to here without ever touching it. Well, that's God power, right? It moved. Oh, there must be a demon. No, it was just electromagnetism applied in a special way. There was also an experiment a few years ago at MIT, which was replicated in Italy. This is very important because replication is proof of positive tests. We had always heard that time is mutable, right? For 100 years, scientists have been trying to fire a particle into a fog chamber and measure when it came out. And it always came out after they fired it in. You fire it on this side, it comes out this side a billionth of a second later, right? Well, MIT succeeded in having it come out before it went in. Explain that. That's not God. That's science. That's the manipulation of time, space, and matter. These things are possible, but they are not godlike. It's not spirit. This is a physical world, and it is mutable. Time and space and matter are mutable. But spirit is different. So when Satan appears to do a miracle and fools people, that's exactly what he's doing. He's lying to them. Last year, this is by Isaac Schultz. Last year, Kloppenberg's team at LHCb discovered a new species of tetraquark. quarks are until recently thought to be the foundation of the physical universe, but now string theory has replaced that. Never mind, okay? I'm not a physicist. It's not my strength. Like, blah, 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 the tetraquark had a fleeting lifespan, probably just over one quintillionth of a second. Though other exotic particles turn up and vanish in blah, 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 the first X particle detected in the quark gluon plasma generated there, it would appear that God has performed. It's called, like I said, the Higgs boson. They received the famous award, you know, for discovering something no one's ever done before. It is not the God particle. We call it that because even we are in awe of what has been done. But that's not God. They built this machine underneath Switzerland. It runs for 24 miles, and it accelerates particles to super light speeds, right, by use of electromagnetism, and it creates collisions at super speeds. And in this collisions, things, and you understand this because that's how the atomic bomb works. You collide the particles, and they release their energy. Well, in this case, in releasing energy, they did what they wanted. They created a new particle. And if you've watched a movie recently called, I don't remember, but they were looking, there was a movie by Dan Brown where you're looking for God, and they found the particle encased, the Catholic Church had it encased, and they're using it as a weapon. That's nonsense, too, because we're not there yet. But we will get there. And again, that's not God. That's science. That's nothing to do with God. It's the reaction in the real universe. Okay, I want to read Isaiah 40 again. I'm going to read it in a different translation. Isaiah 40, 25 through 27. The Holy One asks, "Do you really think you can find someone or something to compare to me, my equal? Look at the myriad of stars and constellations above you. Who set them burning each in its place? Who knows?" Listen to this. Who knows? And by countless, we've estimated this is in the trillions, right? Who knows the countless lights each by name? They obediently shine each in its place because God has great strength and strong power to make it so. It's not poetic language. The universe obeys him. In the New International Version, this is Deuteronomy 32 through 39 in the New International Version. Again, I like this translation because listen to how it's worded. Verse 39, "See now that I myself am he. There is no God beside me. I put to death and bring to life. I put to death and bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand." No one can deliver out of my hand. He has control of everything. Think about this. As Christians, why does Satan attack the family so much with every strange, violent, bizarre, and perverted idea? He can't reproduce himself. He can't create life like God. Only God can give life to a living creature. That's important. You know, we have the spirit of man in us, and the God's Holy Spirit connects with our spirit, and then we have true life, right? Could Satan make a being, a dog, a cat, whatever, and be alive? Yes, but would it have spirit? Would it have the spirit of animals in it? Does he have power to give spirit? I can't answer that question, but I know that only God can give the spirit of man to man. Satan cannot do that. He cannot do that. He has no control over the spirit of man. That comes from God only. And certainly the Holy Spirit, it does not emanate from Satan. He has not this power. He's a counterfeiter. He's a deceiver. And he would have us believe that he can produce miracles. In fact, he'll so convince the world in the near future that what will happen? What will happen? This little idea that I've introduced, this doubt that he's created, that good and evil can coexist and should exist, what will happen? The earth will rise up and fight against Christ, thinking they are fighting against Satan. Galatians 5:17, and you can turn to the scripture as we close, because this is the last idea. This is complementary versus oppositional. Galatians 5:17, complementary versus oppositional. Complementary, let's talk about complementary. Man and woman. In some cases, men and women can be opposed to each other. I understand that, you know, we all do. But God did not create it so. Yeah, it's kind of funny, I know, it's supposed to be a joke. Men and women are complementary. Can a man create a child without a woman? Don't answer that question in the modern sense. Can a woman create a child without a man? Again, please, ladies, do not answer that in the modern sense. No, It takes two to create the child. They work together. They have equal importance in this situation as they do in almost all things. You see, the thing about this is it's not a matter of one greater than another. It is complementary. Galatians 5:17, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. In other words, what we want, the things that we want, in moderation, being married is something that God ordained. It is not wrong. It is right. However, being a modern man or woman and visiting a bar every month or so that you can get what you want is completely oppositional to the truth. So that's the flesh warring against the spirit, because the spirit teaches you that this is wrong. This is not normal behavior. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things that you want to do. In other words, because you want these things, you see them, you desire them, that opposes you. What did Paul say? I do that which I would not do, right? What I want to do, what the Spirit teaches me, the right things of God I want to do, but what I do is satisfy this flesh. This flesh. We are satisfied by the flesh. Why is that? Because we were lied to. Good and evil are opposed to each other. Life and death are opposed to each other. God offers life. Satan offers death. The last thing that God will remove from this planet, the last enemy, death. There will be no more death. There'll just be life? You mean we can't have death with life? No. Once you're a spirit being, you're with God for eternity. There's no more death. They are not oppositional anymore. They're gone. They are not complementary because there's no death in spirit realm, right? These ideas have been perverted. Good and evil are not complementary. The yin and the yang is not true. Light and dark do not coexist. Darkness is opposed to light. In other words, evil is opposed to truth. There are many things that can be said about this idea, about how subtly it has entered our society and how we believe it and how we go along with it and how it has colored our thinking. But good and evil are oppositional. But men and women, God and truth and what we should become, us and God, should be complementary. You know? Because eventually, when we are spirit beings, and then we will be part of his family, we are not opposed to him. Satan is opposed to him. But Satan is trying to interject subtly into this society the idea that in fact he is complementary, when in fact he is our enemy. I've said a lot of things today that are odd, strange, ugly, and funny at the same time, because they're the ideas of weird people. The problem is that because of the society we live in, and I started with Star Wars, and what an entertaining and fun series it's been, has very subtly taught us that good and evil not only can exist together, but are necessary. And that's a lie. And that's the lie that we believe today. We believe that good and evil must coexist. And that's simply not true.